Jaws fucks.
No man is a cat guy.
Certified skeezer.
Southern California.
Uh-huh. Oh, fantastic.
AKA the best place to live.
I'd do a nice ski pole.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. You know who it is. It's your boy, Brian B. Baby B. Saying what's up. Thank you for joining us. Episode 174 of the show, if you can believe that. Very, very happy to have you in our realm, and I would hope that you would reach out to us if you would like to chat about something you hear on this show. You are welcome to send us an email that we may or may not read. The email address is mailbag, all one word, at theballerlifestyle, also all one word, .com. You can also leave us a voicemail. Voicemails are hit or miss, you know? Sometimes we get tons, sometimes we don't get many. Usually they're bad. Sometimes they're kind of funny. You should try that. See what you can do. 949-464-TBLS is the voicemail number. As always, I want you guys to like our iTunes, review our iTunes page, give us a 5-star review. Do just a short, quick review of the show there. It's my understanding that iTunes, Apple, is about to change some functionality. They're changing their the way that you track engagement via on iTunes. So it can only help our profile if you leave a review of the show. That's all. That's all I need. That's a roundabout way of saying it helps us out a lot if you review the show on iTunes. So just do that quickly. Like our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. A lot of interesting stuff happens there. A lot of interesting videos. We share content there that we don't necessarily talk about on the show. So it's important that you like our Facebook page. If you want to be fully engaged, if you want to be like in it, in this thing that we're doing, go to our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook, and like us there. That's it. You can also, one more thing, patreon.com. That's a place where you can contribute to the show financially. You can throw us a couple bones. Very kind of you that do that. And if you want to be one of those people, just go to patreon.com/theballerlifestyle and make a donation. We would appreciate it. That's it. It's all we do here. Joining me now, as always, his name is Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, we kind of, over the course of the week, you just kind of set aside some stories that sound good, and there were a couple stories that I thought were good, but they were too quick to really make a full story out of.
Yeah.
But they're both about just how dumb people are out there.
So many dumb people in the world.
This is a real stat. Like, it might have been, like, Washington Post
Is this the chocolate milk one?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Seven percent of Americans think chocolate milk comes from brown cows, which works out to be 16 million people think that.
That just can't be true. That just cannot be true.
And then I was also reading about, you know, the whole the Shakespeare company that has the Trump. They changed Julius Caesar to Trump, and right. People are going crazy. Yeah. And you know, what if they did with Obama? Well, they did in Minnesota. They did an Obama version,
sure,
like 4 years ago.
Sure.
But anyway, the part that's dumb, I mean, obviously it's dumb to really give a shit because it's just fictionalized. But the dumb part is apparently random Shakespeare theaters around the country are getting like death threats and hate mail.
Oh my God.
Like just Shakespeare in general. Like they think if one theater in wherever it is, Virginia, is doing this, then, like, all Shakespeare people, and they're sending death threats. If you're sending a death threat, wouldn't you do, like, kind of double-checking? Like, just a little bit?
I would be very serious about my death threats. The only way I would send a death threat over Shakespeare would be like if you sent me an email and were like, hey, I got us two tickets to Shakespeare on Saturday.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, then I would send you a death threat and be like,
I shall kill you.
Yes. You will die on Saturday if you show up with those tickets. That's when a death threat over Shakespeare is warranted.
I read Julius Caesar in whatever, freshman year high school. Like, we got it. Like,
et tu, Brute. I get it.
The best part about Shakespeare was like freshman or sophomore year, and we got to see the Zeffirelli Romeo and Juliet.
They show
and
some
got
to titty.
See Juliet's
they show
tits.
Some, yeah.
So that was a great moment in high school English. They're like, oh, titty.
And it was like, you know, Romeo and Juliet are like 13 or 14 in the story. And the actress, I think, was like 14 or 15 in that Zeffirelli's Romeo and Juliet. And they show her titty. And they show, it was freshman year, and they showed her titty right there in my honors English class.
It was ample, from what I remember. Yeah. Oh, but yeah, then again, nice. Like, you know, the a strong wind was exciting me at that age. So
there's anything. There's really not a bad time. I'll never like get super bummed if a titty shows in something. Like I'm not even pretending that I'm not. I am that base. Like that is the level upon which I exist. Like if I see a nice round nude bottom or a big beautiful set or even a small set of beautiful breasts, I will look at it. As a matter of fact, our very own, she'll join us later, Fancy Sauce, has really been pushing me to watch this Handmaid's Tale with her. And I'm like, and she's already watched a bunch of it. And I'm like, I don't know, it might not be for me. And I'm like, wait, I'm like, I am kind of into that Elizabeth Moss. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, she's in it. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, does she show some titty? And she's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure she does. And I'm like, oh, well, I might want to watch that then. We might have to watch The Handmaid's Tale.
I like her as an actress, but yeah. I'm not feeling it there.
No, she's okay. Like, it's you know, she's not in my top 100, but I like her.
Yeah, I'm not turning any gratuitous action down.
Sure.
But the one thing is, like you said, that Juliet in that one, she was way underage.
Yeah.
Like if I were to see that movie now, it would be weird.
Very. Yeah, but when you
know,
are
it's like
the
it
age.
Was it was exciting when you're that age. Yeah. But that would be weird if like that popped up on cable.
Yes.
Like because I think I would probably be like, oh, are we close to that scene? Are they in bed? But then now I'm looking at child pornography. That's not
it's, good. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I do, and my kids, anytime they show, of course, now in schools, they only show the most, like, sanitized, pristine, least offensive possible things they can show. And yet my kids still have to bring home a permission slip. Dad, they're going to show Sing on Friday. Can you sign? I'm like, why would I need to?
Are you serious?
Yeah, of course you can watch Sing. Like, who's, I want to know.
No. I don't like when the pig sings Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I imagine that there are some Jehovah's Witnesses out there in the world that do raise a stink over such matters, but it's just so weird that this is the world we live in. By the way, and because I know I'm going to get tweets about this and I'm sensitive, it's not very hot, but it's beginning to warm up at the Baller Lifestyle World Headquarters. So I have the studio windows open, so you may hear like some birds, some passing trucks, stuff like that. It's cannot be avoided. It's very warm in the end. I can't have forced air because then that would really sound like shit. So if you hear
we're suffering for our art here.
Yes,
because I'm doing the same thing. I have to turn off the AC down here.
Yes,
I'm in a duplex, and the downstairs has its own like separate
unit
AC.
Yeah,
the top floor is all central air. The downstairs it makes some noise, and I have to turn it off. Otherwise, it's very noisy.
Heroic.
It feels like Vietnam.
Oh yeah,
like these days, it's like 95% humidity. It's awful.
Yeah, it's starting to warm up here. It's not like it's like 80 here, which isn't too bad. But I feel if I don't like preface this, but even stuff I do preface, I still get called out on. For instance, last week, see, oftentimes when we start the show, Ed and I, we don't see each other. We don't chat other than when we're doing the show. I mean, we text, but we don't talk. So before the show, we'll have a conversation before we record. Hey, what's up? What have you been doing? And so he and I were in the middle of a conversation last week about we just happened to be talking about another podcast. And I thought to myself, hey, this is kind of interesting. I bet people would like to hear us talk about this.
Yeah, just a little sneak peek into what's going on.
Right. So people like behind the scenes stuff. So I just left that in the show. But then I got stuff like, did you realize that your show starts in the middle of a conversation? Like, yes, I do realize that. And then I acknowledged it on the fucking show. I started in the middle of a conversation. And then I said, hey, I'm just going to start here. Welcome to the show. Like, I'm telling you that I acknowledge it. So it's just a thing. So if you hear some birds, that's just the outside.
Ambiance. Oh, that's right. I do have a request. You reminded me of something.
Yeah.
I appreciate any contributions to the show whatsoever.
Oh no! You're over being tagged.
I and on Twitter.
I'm surprised it took this long.
On Twitter. You know, when somebody sends me a link and stuff, it's fine. Like, I love that. I can react to it.
Right.
Or if it's Facebook, all you have to do is put the person's name in the comment under the article or something you want to do.
Yes, yes.
I have a handful of people, and I accept all friend requests, and I'm happy to do it. I don't post, you know, kindergarten or whatever, those kind of pictures. So, like, fine. Right. You know, you want to see what I'm
posting.
Friend
them all, Ed.
Friend them all. Yeah. Okay. But I do have like Facebook friendships with like my friend's mom and my aunt and stuff like that, my family. And I am getting tagged left and right in like, you know, articles like, hey, this teacher fucked this student. No big deal, right?
There's a lot of that. There's a lot.
Like somebody tagged me in like a picture of dog shit this weekend. I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah.
But like, I don't. You know, it's fine. You want to, you know, send me jokes and stuff. That's fine. But like every time I have to quickly just be like, all right, I'm untagging myself. Like, I don't, it's fine. But like, I
know it's great. It's great.
You know, no, I don't, want to be, if I have to keep removing the tag, I have to remove the friendship.
I understand.
Like, cause one of those pictures, my friend's mom reacted to it. And it's like, I don't want that to be like the next time I see her. Like, oh, you got some racy stuff on your Facebook page. Like, you know, I try to choose my content. When somebody tags you, it's as if you posted that yourself.
It is kind of weird that I've officially reached the age where I don't understand technology, because I don't, like, if somebody posts to my timeline, I have it set up where I can just, where I have to approve it so it doesn't appear on my timeline. But when somebody tags you in something, for some reason, people that you're friends with can see that, even if they're not friends with both people, which is kind of weird. And then people will interject in conversations, and you're right. I mean, there is a thing. I don't care. Like, anybody can tag me in anything. Doesn't really matter to me. But it is kind of weird when when you know people in real life, but then some people you don't really know in real life, and they'll just jump in and be like, hey. And you're like, wait, is this, I don't know if this is okay, or I don't know what the deal is, but I don't care. Like, anybody can tag me.
Yeah, I've had people also, like, you know, take shots at my brother-in-law and stuff, and it's like,
you know. Yeah, that's not cool.
It's just one of those things that it's like, for me, the main thing is, the things I put on my page are the things I want to show out there.
Yes.
And when somebody tags me, what they find funny is now going to be what I find funny.
Yeah.
And I get that's it. The part I don't like.
Right. Yeah. You're associated with it. I'm okay with it. A lot of people, there's certain people that like to tag me in birds killing other animals, and I sort of enjoy those. So,
I would be okay being tagged in that.
Right.
But
yes.
Yeah.
It's just, I know this isn't breaking news because by the time you hear this, we're recording this the day before this goes online, but Dwight Howard has been traded. Did you know that, Ed?
Where is he now?
Hawks? He's a Hawk, which is like, he's from Atlanta, so you figure that he would eventually
end up. I saw him play in high school, actually.
Yeah. He's a beast.
He was an Atlanta kid.
He's a physical specimen. He's been traded to Charlotte, which seems like the perfect place for him to be. And also, I honestly don't know this. Is the Charlotte team, do they continue to be called the Bobcats, or are they the Hornets again?
They're back to the Hornets, right. But we established the Bobcats were named the Bobcats because their owner's name was Bob. That's right.
Awful. Horrible.
The worst.
So breaking news to people that will be listening to this tomorrow, in case you don't like get any news between now and then, you'll just have heard it from me. One more thing. Did you watch the season of Better Call Saul?
I'm way behind. Yeah, so
I was behind. I caught up, and then the last episode was last night, the last episode of the season.
Yeah.
That show is so fucking good. It just can't get over, like, the writing's really good, the pace is really good, just all the beats are fucking rad, the like concurrent stories running side by side are so good, and just the way it's shot, the angles, the lighting, like everything about it is just so fucking good. I'm so impressed with that show. And it's one of those shows where it's kind of like The Sopranos, where like something will happen and then they might go a whole season before they reference it again. So it's,
yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, it's rad. And so it's kind of like you're just like peeking in on this world. And so like the season ended last night and I'm like, I want to see what's happening with those people. I feel like, I'm going to miss them. Kind of gay. But anyway, good show. Better Call Saul.
If you're not watching that,
catch up on it.
And I like, another show I'm behind on, but I like Fargo for the same reason that like they've taken the tone of the movie and each season is kind of different.
So good.
But like they don't copy the movie.
So
like
good.
It's hard to do that, to have the tone but not like go to the same jokes and stuff.
Fargo's an anthology where it's the seasons are all different. So each season it's in the same realm, it's in the same area, and there actually is some sort of crossover between characters, but it's different periods in time in the same area.
But you don't need one season.
You don't, like, right.
There might be a tiny reference, but right. Overall, you don't need one season to understand the other.
But it's pushing itself into the realm of quite possibly the best show that's ever been on TV. It's not the best show yet, because it's only done 3 seasons, but it's so fucking good and amazing. And the first season was so good, you're like, well, they're not going to be able to do that again. And then season 2 was probably better, and you're like, how the fuck did they do that? And now season 3, that's the one I'm way behind on. I've only watched the first 2 episodes. But you got Ewan McGregor, a fucking Scotsman, playing this Midwestern, this Minnesotan.
Two Minnesota twins.
Yeah, twin brothers. I mean, it's just crazy. The performances, the characters, the acting, unbelievable. Great, great show,
yeah.
Fargo. Any more? Do we need to recommend anything else?
No, we're doing great, yeah, though. We're really telling good. You how to live your life.
Let's check in on some voicemails.
All right. Let's see.
Chill, the Baller Podcast up on my phone. I turn it on and I feel like I'm home. The humor coming from Ed and Brian is smoking, but then I think my earbuds are broken. Checking on my phone if something's wrong. I wonder who went and turned sound down. I don't think it's what they were supposed to do, cause Troy and Blu-ray's coming through.
I haven't been playing enough of our musical beds lately, and that one's underrated, so I thought I'd drop it in there. Email. Greetings. Please pass along my thanks to Ed for his book, and more importantly, please thank him for his very inspirational message that he hand-wrote on the inside front cover, which also contained his autograph.
Yeah, what the message was there?
What was it?
I went deep. I went with Casey Kasem's words of encouragement to end each show. Remember?
No.
Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Oh, my God. You know, he made like $100 million doing that, right?
Like, yes.
He just introduced 20 songs every week, and they played it on a million radio stations and just sent him $100,000 checks. It's crazy.
I highly recommend going on YouTube and listening to Richard and Sal from Howard Stern cut up his countdown talk.
Oh, and do
and prank calls? Call the Chinese restaurant, and they're like, number 2. And they're like, okay, you want pour for rice? And so it's like, funny. number 7. number six, number five. And they're like getting the order and they're like, wait, wait, repeat it. And he's like, number five, number six. Like, it's awesome.
So
it's good. Really good.
Those guys
just
are so
type
funny.
In Richard and Sal, Casey Kasem.
Classic. It will be a truly cherished item in my house. It will sit beside my Hank Aaron and Brett Favre autographed items. The only autographed items I ever got and actually kept. Lastly, I am not entirely sure this is a good thing, but my oldest kid, age 23, is now hooked on the Baller Lifestyle podcast and has turned some of his millennial friends onto the podcast as well. Since I also have some younger kids, I have a question. At what age would you permit your kids to listen to the Baller Lifestyle podcast, assuming you can control anything they listen to? A very stupid assumption, I might add. Have a great week. Peace. That is from KMAC Tex. Ed, that is a great question. I would say zero is probably the age that they could start. I don't see why not. Just put it in the crib.
For everyone else, I'd say, yeah, put it in the crib.
Yeah.
And we have soothing voices. The kids will get nice rests.
Yes.
It's great. For my own kids, I'm guessing they're never going to listen to this.
No, they're not interested in this content.
Because when they get old enough to handle the content, the content is like hearing about dad masturbating to his high school Spanish teacher. Like, it's not true. It's that's not going to work, ever.
We had that email last week from Adam Ansel asking if it was okay to ask for anal on Father's Day.
that's a tough father-son.
That can't be blamed on you and I. That's a listener. That's a listener that came up with that right, stuff. That's, we wouldn't say that.
Adam came up with the haymaker there.
So good. It's a great question, K-Mac. I would say like zero or maybe one. Just put it in the crib. They won't really understand what's going on, but there'll be a list. Also, if you could get them their own device where they could download it separately, have their own iTunes account, and then maybe they could mash with their little paw out a iTunes review, that would be helpful to the show.
Having them master the mouse would actually help with their
dexterity, fine motor skills.
Yeah, the fine motor skills. Right. So, yeah. Maybe teach them different logins.
Yeah, my kid's 12, and he watches people play video games on YouTube, like, exclusively.
Yes.
And that's all him and any of his friends watch. And so I don't think, like, they're going to be tuning into what we do anytime soon. Speaking of people, we need to, also big trade rumor. Oh, Ed, I want this so much. I want this so much. The Knicks right now.
No.
They have a generational talent on their roster. And of course, I'm talking about Kristaps Porzingis. He's 7 feet three. I don't even think he's like 20 or 21. He's very young.
21.
21.
He has not like mastered the game yet.
No.
He's a stud.
No. And he's got this big body that he's still growing into. Like he's 7 or 8 years away from his peak.
And he's got the attitude. He's got the right, like,
great
mindset.
Yes. Great dude. Like, doesn't take himself too seriously. Like, jokes around. Like, happy to be here. Not a diva. Like, everything, and he's playing in New York. He could be the fucking biggest star.
Embraces New York City.
Yes,
he doesn't shy away from it.
Everything about the guy is perfect. And rumors broke today via Adrian Wojnarowski that the genius Phil Jackson, the guy who's such a great coach that his primary skill as a coach was one, having really good players, and two, sometimes giving them a book.
Yeah. Here's Moby Dick. Now, Shaq, can you go rebound and dunk?
Exactly. He is so smart, Ed, that he's entertaining trade offers for Kristaps Porzingis. And I want, not for you as a Knicks fan, but for me as an Ed Daly fan, as a fan of Ed Daly's pain, I desperately want Phil Jackson to trade Kristaps Porzingis for something terrible. I want this so badly.
I have a buddy who's in France right now who's a big Knicks fan, and he and I were texting, and like it's just, you know, I had to break the news to him in Europe. I was like, this is Phil just trying to just twist the knife in our hearts now.
Yeah.
This is He's the fucking worst. Yes. And he like still thinks the triangle is the reason why those championships, why he has those rings. He still thinks it.
Yeah.
And
the,
like,
you know, triangle is just basketball. Like, pass it to a guy and then cut to the basket. That's a, there's a triangle. I've explained it to you. You throw it over to him and then you run towards the hoop. That's it. That's the whole theory. That's just called basketball.
Except it's old basketball because
slow half court.
In theory, in the triangle, you don't need a good point guard. Except in the NBA, you do need a good point guard.
And in the triangle, you work for an open shot, which isn't necessarily a 3-point shot. You work for the highest percentage shot. And these days, you want to fucking shoot for the most. It turns out there's one shot that's worth 50% more than the other shots. So you want to get the most guys that are good at those. And some guys can make them so often that it doesn't ever make sense for them to take one from inside the line. You take them from outside the line because you get more points for those.
Yeah, and it only took, NBA minds like 3 decades to figure out that the 3 is a valuable shot.
I was listening to Bill Simmons has this guy who's like a basketball gambler, and he's like, well, I can't remember the guy's name, and so, but I don't want to take credit for this. He was talking about how Phil Jackson was saying when the Lakers were winning titles, he said, like, in a press conference, we don't want to shoot anymore. We're trying to avoid shooting 3s from the corner because those turn into long rebounds and fast breaks for the other team. And so this guy's like, maybe I've got some insight. That's interesting. So he checked it out. Completely false. Like, never, like, was, could not have been more wrong that actually the corner 3-pointers led to the fewest fast breaks the other way. And he
couldn't. And it's the closest 3-pointer.
Yes.
Much closer than the top of the key.
Right. And they more often led to offensive rebounds and putbacks than the opposite, which is what Phil Jackson said. So
Bill Jackson is on the punch on sight list for sure.
Oh, he's the best. Okay. But speaking of Kristaps Porzingis, he's from some like Baltic. Is he
Latvia?
Like, Latvia. I get Latvia and Lithuania confused.
Right. Well, I'm going to struggle with this pronunciation, but Gedvydas Vainauskas, the president of the Lithuanian professional basketball team, BC Lietuvos Rytas. What a catchy name.
Yes, really, like, that's better than the Bobcats. Do you think their owner is called Lietuvos Rytas? Like, he's called Lietuvos, so the team's called the Lietuvos Rytas?
My name's Lietuvos, so we're going to be the Lietuvos Rytas. He had some thoughts, and so let me just go right to the quote.
I love it when people have thoughts.
We've always had a stance that there shouldn't be more than 2 black players on the team. What happened was that Coach Thomas Pasisas likes to play with black players to control them, to teach them, to tutor them. And we ended up with 4 players that are black. All of a sudden, they came together to form, how should I put it, a sort of gang. It cannot be that way. No more than 2 black players. I can say that from my 23 years of experience in the business. Teams don't ever have more than 2 black players. Then in parentheses, smiles. Because that's when bad things start to take place. Now, predictably, Vainauskas caught some flack over the quote and issued an apology. The principal position of BC Lietuvos Rytas is that a basketball player, first of all, is a professional. Unfortunately, a few of our foreigners did not meet expectations of the club. During the playoffs, they acted irresponsibly and had a great negative impact on our team's performance. In my interview, I expressed my disappointment about some of the foreign players selected for the season. I apologize if I was improperly understood.
Wow.
Now, Brian, is Lithuania the Boston of Europe?
Seriously. Well, I think Russia is sort of the Boston. Like, all of the former Soviet Union is just a little more racist. Like, you're not allowed to be gay over there still. Like, you really just don't wanna, if you're a professional basketball player but you're not good enough to play in the NBA, there are a lot of leagues all over the world that are probably happy to have black players around. So I would avoid, like, go to Turkey or Israel, Greece, you know, like Italy, Spain, lots of places to play. And also, this guy, I don't know if this Lithuanian guy, did he fall from the Phil Jackson coaching tree? Because he seems to have a lot of his same unfounded theories about what makes a good team. I don't think that there's really ever been a study that would prove that having the fewest black players actually makes you the best team.
You know who was the last guy to have that theory? Adolph Rupp in like 1966. That's right. I thought that was pretty much, you know, just blown up at that point.
It's, I love when people do racism and they don't realize they're doing racism. Like they're just saying it. Like, this is just what I think, and who would think anything weird about what I'm saying? Because these are just normal thoughts I'm having about having too many black players makes them into a gang. Like what? Like, that's great. And it reminded me of old Jimmy the Greek. The blacks
are a superior athlete.
Yeah, I think I have the sound from YouTube. Let's see.
WRC-TV was asking questions about Martin Luther King's birthday and the progress blacks have made in society.
Oh, no.
Their CBS sports commentator, Jimmy the Greek Snyder, gave his impressions of blacks and coaching in the National Football League.
I do like that you're in the 80s. Your name could just be your first name and then your ethnicity.
The Greek. That tells you that you play cards.
Right. Yes. You like, right? You fancy a gamble. You can find him at the sports book, I get. Okay, here we go.
Right.
His answers could raise as much controversy as the statements by former Dodgers executive Al Campanis last April on ABC's Nightline news program.
Yeah, pretty soon they're going to have to equalize it for the blacks.
The blacks.
For the Greeks, the Jews, and for everybody. I mean, let's make it equal for everybody. You know.
I like that they hit him at dinner. So he's probably like three or four Cutty Sarks deep at least. Like, just totally unfair to old Jimmy the Greek here.
And is it equal? What about in sports?
Well, they've got everything. If they take over coaching like everybody wants them to, there's not going to be anything left for the white people. I mean, all the players are black. I mean, the only thing that the whites control is the coaching jobs. Now, I'm not being derogatory about it, but that's all that's for them.
So black. I'm not being racist. Look out. Here comes something very racist.
Here God comes the hammer. Beautiful.
It's great. It's out there. Yeah. It's, the only thing left for the whites is a couple coaching jobs.
Yeah, maybe we need to get more black coaches, don't you?
Oh, it's all right with me. Okay, well, I'm sure that they'll take over that pretty soon, too.
WRC was...
Old Jimmy the Greek. He was the best. Ed. Racism alive and well. Yeah.
Didn't he also make... Wasn't there another soundbite with the extra bone in the ankle?
Yeah.
Like, I think... I think he also did that.
I think there was, but I feel like that wasn't the one that got him fired. I feel like that was just like accepted. Oh, Jimmy the Greek, he's probably an anatomist. He understands.
Greek. There are a lot of smart Greeks. He must know something.
Yes, he knows about the extra bone.
how about when he tried to like backtrack a little bit when he goes, yeah, we got to like, you know, figure it out for the blacks. And then he's talking about like in sports and then he goes, or the Greeks or the Jews? Like, no.
Yes.
Two of those three groups really don't represent, you know, aside from like Nick Markakis in baseball.
Right. Sean Green.
Like Sean Green and Nick Markakis. Yeah. Pretty much that's about it. That's all.
Hank Greenberg. Yeah. Totally. Well, at least, I mean, that was so long ago. They were talking about Al Campanis and Jimmy the Greek. At least. That was so long in the past that we don't have to worry about, you know, these days, media people know better and they're not saying racist stuff like they used to, right?
Well, it's funny you mention that because this past week, the Supreme Court heard the case of an Asian American rock band from Oregon called The Slants and whether that potentially offensive term could be trademarked. And then
they're probably named after that old Dodge engine, the Slant 6, right? They're just like car reference, right?
Maybe. Well, I'm not getting that vibe.
Oh, huh.
So New York Sports Talk Radio, a caller brought the case up with the New York Sports Talk bloviator, Mike Francesa, and asked how this would relate to the Washington Redskins. And his response was, well... just about as shitty as his sports hot takes. Well, the feeling is that it's going to be the same answer to the same question. The only other debate that they were talking about themselves. They were all Oriental Americans who were part of a rock group, rock band. I don't know what kind of rock band. They were some kind of musical band from Oregon. And they could not trademark the name Slant, even though they were a group of young Oriental Americans. And that was the case that went to the Supreme Court, and they feel that it has bearing on the Redskins. Now, later in the show, his producer informed him that Oriental American might be offensive. Francesa was incredulous. "You're telling me it's considered a slight if you call someone an Oriental American?" Francesa said. "What's the proper term now? Since I want to get it proper, since Oriental American is now considered a slight."
Oh, my God.
"What would not be a slight?" When told Asian American by his producer, Francesa exploded. "Oh, Asian American. So let's make that an Asian American band. You telling me the word Oriental American is a slight? If they would like me to say Asian Americans, all power to it. Then I'll say Asian American. Whatever makes people happy. Has it gotten to the point that that would be considered a slight? Oh, boy." Now, Brian, has anyone used the term Oriental since the 1960s cartoon, The Amazing Chan Clan?
Yeah, it's like so old-timey. Like, this Francesa is like relatively old, but like in his 60s probably, right? Like, he's not like old that he would think, you know, he's not greatest generation old. He's baby boomer old. And they know. They know it's Asian. Everybody knows it's Asian.
Everyone. It's not like a hard thing. Right. And Asian is such a blanket statement. You're covering a huge group of people.
Get them all.
You're doing that. It's so easy. And he still is like Oriental. Like even Hong Kong Fooey would be like, hey, you know, that seems a little bit racist.
Do you want even the Asian, the Japanese guy that they found on Gilligan's Island?
Yeah,
everything was so racist back then that they wouldn't even hire an actual Asian person. They would just get a white guy from central casting, and they would be like, "Hey, you're playing an Asian guy," and then they would give him some buck teeth.
Yeah, I was gonna say, fit him with some giant choppers.
Yeah, and then they did the same with anybody that played a Native American. They would just take some swarthy Italian guys and paint them red, and they'd be like, "You're a fucking Indian today. You're an Indian in this movie. It's crazy." I want you to let's play a game here. Okay. The game is guess Mike Francesa's salary. What do you think he makes a year in 1 year of time? What do you think, Mike? How do you know? I know you don't listen. What's he do? Like a 4 or 5 hour show every day?
He does like, I think he does like the afternoon drive time show. And like for a little while after college, I had a job where I had to drive to.
Right.
And so I would sometimes put it on. And all this guy did was carry water for the New York Yankees. Right. Like it
and
could
the,
be
in the
Christmas.
Jets. Is he a Jets guy too?
He was a Parcells guy. Oh, so wherever Parcells was, and then he would like insult anyone that questioned Parcells on anything. But like it would be December 14th and all, you know, playoff Yankees races heating up in football, and it would just be Yankee talk. Could
Yankees
be the NCAA tournament Final Four, Yankees for spring training. And doesn't matter.
That's when he was paired up with the old Mad Dog.
Yeah.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Well, let's take a guess. I don't know what the Mad Dog makes, but I have a good idea. I've looked it up here, what Mike Francesa makes. 1 year of work. What do you think he makes?
I mean, how much could he possibly make? It's like AM radio.
This is just his salary. He probably reads tons of like 1-800 mattress commercials and whatnot, and he probably gets $500 to $1,000 every single time he reads one of those 15-second spots. So think of, and he does that a few times a day. But that's not added in.
$750,000? I don't know. What could he possibly make?
$750,000. That is a good guess if you meant to multiply that figure by like five.
Oh my God.
Because he makes $4 million a year.
Jesus Christ.
Followed by six zeros, $4 million a year. And that's not, and that doesn't count the 10 grand he gets on a Saturday to go out to a car dealership for an hour and shake people's hands.
Yeah. Smoke like 30 cigarettes and then shake two hands and he
lives in New York and he's on the radio in the biggest media market in the world. And he still thinks it's okay to call Asian people Oriental.
No, he's angry when someone pointed it out.
Yeah, and then, yeah, he's really annoyed. And then he says Oriental like five more times, as even though he's been told it's racist to say as much. Yeah. That's pretty good. Okay, what else is going on?
Okay, well, there's no question this is the biggest story of the week. Ex-New York Giants quarterback Joe Pisarcik, who became the CEO of the NFL Alumni Association, is being sued for allegedly sexually harassing three female employees. Now, he's best known for being the guy who fumbled away a game in 1978, which was deemed the miracle in Meadowlands.
Don't pull a Pisarcik. Let's not have another Pisarcik. Yeah.
This is why they take knees at the end of the games.
Right.
Because, like, he took the snap and was trying to hand it off and, like, just dropped it. It was, you know. So anyway, now he's probably known for something else. Three women who worked under Pisarcik at the NFL Association say he constantly subjected them to intense sexual harassment, including butt smacks, lewd comments, and unwanted advances. The women say Pisarcik ruined a Christmas lunch when he started regaling the women about a sex story involving Joe Namath. The women claim Pisarcik told the group he and Namath picked up two ladies one evening and got happy endings, which women understood to mean the men were giving hand jobs or blowjobs.
Yes.
Pisarcik allegedly then told the plaintiffs about how many women he and Joe banged together when they lived together in Florida back in the day, and even bragged about nailing Joe's girlfriend one night when the quarterback passed out. But here's the big bombshell. Ron Jaworski is also mentioned in the lawsuit because...
Stop it. Stop. I can't take this. Okay, go on.
He's also on the board of directors. The women say Pisarcik would also brag about how many girls Ron banged, too. Now, Brian, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you to learn that Jaws fucks?
Ron Jaworski, he just loves to fuck. Like, I thought he exclusively...
He's so excited. He's so excited for game tape.
Yeah, he brags about how much tape he watches. He watches, like, 10 in-season, preseason. He's watching tape, like, 10 hours a day. So I can only imagine while Nevaeh is on her knees in front of him, he's on some leather couch with the remote, and he's got the All-22 going on the TV where he's like, see that, Nevaeh? Brady saw the mic stunt in the A-gap and immediately checked down to the tight end. Oh! Like, he's, you know how people like to combine their fantasies? Like, he's got them both going on.
He's got, like, three video monitors over the bed. Like, you know, like, instead of mirrors and stuff, he's got video monitors. Hey, last week, Mike McCarthy did a good job establishing the run with Eddie Lacy. That opened up the play-action pass for Aaron Rodgers. Speaking of opening up, how about you let me go back door while I'm down there? The success of the play-action took some of the burden off that defense. Would you be a dove and finger my asshole?
Do you think his Tinder profile are like, I like to combine my passions, pussy and the All-22.
Travis Kelce's the X factor in this game. How about you spank my hairy ass?
I mean, I thought I would go the entire rest of my life without ever thinking about Ron Jaws Jaworski engaged in coitus.
Just the way he carries himself, he's so excited about football. There's no way you would think he has sex.
No. Oh, because yes. He has that time.
If you were having sex, you wouldn't be that excited about Tom Brady picking up the safety blitz.
And there's something about this Pisarcik guy bragging that him and Namath were like tagging in the same room. And it's like everybody's had that college situation where you're sharing a room or, you know, it's everybody's had that moment where it just worked out that you and your buddy both had a chick in the same room at the same time. But nobody's like bragging about it. Like, hey, guess what me and Tommy did last night? You know, it's like, you kind of like just keep that low. Like, yeah, I glanced over and saw your ass in the air. It wasn't cool. Like,
that's for you and Tommy.
Right. I try to look away, but he's like bragging that him and Joe Namath were like slapping fives while they were both getting blown by strippers.
But it's cool, a weird thing to talk to people who work for you and be like, hey, can you believe the hand jobs I used to get with my old buddy? Like, what?
Yes.
Right. It's a weird conversation to have.
Yeah, just any kind of like sexual reference in the workplace is just not cool, especially when it involves Ron Jaworski.
Jaws.
Jaws. Unbelievable.
Check out that safety blitz. Oh, work my shaft.
Ed, you know I like to go in the summertime with my betrothed. My betrothed has roots in Indonesia.
Yeah.
And we like to go visit. We went last summer. I don't know if we're going to be able to make it over this summer. It's still in discussion. We like to go to Bali.
Beautiful there, right?
And it's very beautiful. It's very, like, westernized. You know, you don't have to really worry about anything when you go there. You don't have to, you know, it's not like scary. It's not like a scary third world place. It's a modernized third world place. So imagine my horror when I read that this headline, unsuspecting tourists in Bali are eating dog meat that they've been told is chicken satay.
Oh, no.
According to a new report, apparently some Aussie journalists went undercover in Bali and did like a 4-month investigation to discover that some of these like street vendors that were doing these chicken satay sticks that are very popular there, very delicious, by the way. It's a good, it's like a stick with a piece of chicken on it.
Oh, yeah, that is delicious.
Sweet sauce is delicious. Well, it turns out, and I assume this happens in some of the seedier areas, not in like the upscale spots where I hang out, that they're that it's not actually chicken that they're serving, but dog meat. Some of the canine skewers served on the Indonesian island are poisoned from the cyanide used to kill the puppies, and those are the dogs that aren't just bludgeoned or hung from trees to die, Australia's ABC reports. Quote, aside from the cruelty, the greatest shock was to discover that tourists are unwittingly eating dog meat and fueling the trade. The average tourist coming to Bali has no idea that RW on the outside of popular street food stalls indicates dog meat. Ed, this is kind of shocking, but again, I'm sure this only happens in areas that I don't go to. But it made me wonder, Ed, considering that pretty much every animal is made of meat, why is it that dogs and horses get a pass while cows and pigs are fair game? Like, what's the big deal? Like, you eat a pig, you eat a chicken.
I agree with all that.
Yeah.
But I'd be kind of bummed out if I ate a dog.
Me too.
I'm not even a dog guy. Like, I mean, they're way better than cats, but of course. I'm not a big pet. I'm not a big pet guy in general.
Well, nobody's a cat guy, Ed. No man is a cat guy.
I agree, but I'm trying to clarify that I'm not a dog guy, but at the same time, I'm way more of a dog guy than a cat guy. Still, I wouldn't want to eat a dog.
No, I don't think I would either.
I mean, when I was in Thailand, like late one night, all banged up, I ate scorpion, but I'm fairly confident with scorpion on a stick because it looked like
hard,
scorpion.
It's hard to mistake.
Like, yeah, it's not like they would really shape the dog into a scorpion shape.
Right. That would be very difficult. But probably be easier just to catch some scorpions.
Right. That's the street meat I've done over in Asia. But that's a tough one.
I have previously recommended the Morgan Spurlock documentary for Netflix.
Yes.
Rats.
Yes.
And in case you couldn't glean from the title, it's about rats and all sorts of different stories about rats and like what they are and how they live and how they're impossible to get rid of and how there's so fucking many of them and they're everywhere and they're fucking gross. But they're what the last part of the movie, or one of the last parts of the movie, they really build it up. They show like this guy who it's his job to go catch all these rats like out wild in the fields. This is in Vietnam. He catches them out in these fields, and he throws them in alive. He throws them into like this bamboo cage, and eventually he fills it up, and then he takes it to another guy, and this guy gives him like 50 cents each or something. And there is a lot of rats, and actually everybody's bringing this guy their bamboo cages full of rats. And then this guy throws it on the back of his little tuk-tuk and drives on down to town or some other town somewhere. I think he sells them to another guy, but eventually one guy sells them to a woman that owns a restaurant, and she takes all these live rats and she drowns them in a bucket. And then she takes them out of the bucket and she like skins them real quick, gets all the little rat meat off and puts them in a pan, sautés them up. She makes a nice little rat noodle thing, and people come from all over to eat her delicious rat meat at this place in Vietnam. I would recommend it. You should really, really check out this movie. It's called
Rats. You
keep
talking about it, and each time you talk about it, it seems like more disgusting than
it's horrible. It's horrible. You know how you are snake phobic?
Yes.
And I think we've determined on the show I don't really mind snakes. I think I don't mind snakes because they eat rats, and rats are something I am terrified of.
So was this a long-winded way for you to just once again talk about how much you love snakes?
No, I mean, I didn't know. It did come back to that. That does seem to happen quite often on the show. But I'm just saying, rats are gross. Another thing, while we're on the topic of animal death, did you see that Matador got gored to death in that bullfight in France this week?
Yeah, I don't want to watch... No. I don't want to watch anything die. I don't like seeing my food die. No, like I don't want to see anything die.
No.
But what a bullshit sport that is.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. Well, also, Ed, he was felled when he tripped on his own cape.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's a pretty bad move having a extra long cape.
Yeah, you go in there and you're all gussied up in your lavender pant, your lavender knickers with the pulled up socks and the
just a man's and
the, man, the ballet shoes with the palms on the back and the Mickey Mouse hat, and you got your fucking two-toned cape out there, and you're like, look at me, look at my cape, and then you're like, watch me dodge this bull, and you're like, oh fuck my cape, and then you're fucking on the ground, and a 1,500-pound Brahma bull is fucking goring you to death through the goddamn lung.
If I've got a fucking giant bull trying to kill me...
Yeah, I'm not wearing a cape.
I'm not wearing goddamn, slippers from a 1940s movie. No. What are those things?
Yes, I don't know.
Terrible. I want, like, the best, latest in technology sneakers so I can just have the best traction be out of there.
Totally. Totally agree. Also, this guy, and it's one of those things that there's not really anybody that dies that gets less sympathy than a bullfighter. Like, I haven't heard anybody go, oh, it sucks for that guy. Yeah. Everybody's like, yeah, awesome. Like,
right, because you're fighting an animal that's half right. In the grave already.
Yes. You kill the fuck out of bulls, like, for no reason. I get it that it's like, it's old tradition, but there's lots of fucking old traditions that we don't do anymore because they're stupid. And killing bulls while people watch, while you dance around and kill them with spears, that's pretty fucking stupid in my opinion.
Yeah. But I will recommend.
Oh.
There was a good movie with Pierce Brosnan called The Matador.
Oh, was he like an art thief or something?
No. That was Thomas Crown.
Oh.
Pierce Brosnan was an assassin, and Greg Kinnear's in Mexico City on a...
Seen it. Good-ass movie. Really good movie. I must have immediately jumped to the Thomas Crown Affair, because that's the one where Rene Russo gets her big titties out.
Yeah, and that's, that was a good movie, too.
Yeah, that is a good movie. But The Matador, very good movie.
Yeah.
And another... tragic passing. The first person to ever survive the leap into Niagara Falls without protection in 2003 has died. And you're probably thinking, well, as a while ago, he probably had a heart attack or cancer, some other natural cause, car accident, opiate overdose. But no, Ed, he kicked off after attempting the plunge yet again, this time with the protection of an inflatable ball. Police found the body of 53-year-old Kirk Jones floating in the Niagara River 2 weeks ago after trying the stunt in a 10-foot inflatable ball. Authorities say Jones took the 180-foot plunge. That's a pretty long journey. Like, you'd have some time to think about what's going to happen to you. 180 feet, that's 18 stories.
That's like halfway down. You're like, yeah, you know what?
Good idea.
I probably shouldn't have done this, but I'm sure I'll make it. I'm sure I'll be fine.
It's like that movie, The Bridge, where they interview the people that survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, and all of them are like, as soon as I stepped off, you know what? I thought, fuck, my life's not that bad. I didn't need to do this. Every single one of them were like, I didn't need to do that. Why'd I do that? Oh, this was stupid.
And they all had a long time to think, like the way they tell the story. It's like, I had lots of time to think as I was plummeting.
You're floating. Well, Ed, this guy jumped on April 19th, but his body wasn't discovered until June 2nd. Ooh. So you know whoever had to deal with what was left of this guy or what he'd become.
Not good.
Not good. Like, that's some serious PTSD. Police said Jones, and you knew there would be a connection at some point, who had been living in Spring Hill, Florida, was in the area on April 19th, and he may have been attempting a stunt by going over in a large inflatable ball. The ball was, in fact, found in the rapids that same day. But again, the body took a couple weeks to find. Ed, I need to know, what is the bigger tragedy here? The tragic and senseless loss of life of a misunderstood daredevil? Or that before he died, this person may have passed his genetic material on to future generations before I could get him with my sterilization laser?
It's amazing in so many ways, because first of all, he cheated death already. Like, once you do that, wouldn't you just check that off your list?
I should have died.
I survived something I should have died from. Also, he's from somewhere in Florida that I've never heard of.
Spring Hill, Florida. I'm just going to guess that's the Redneck Riviera area. Yeah,
which means he's cheating death every day. Does he need to do something else? Like, he is blessed that he's lived that long. And yet he still wanted to do a stupid stunt. And it's the same thing as, like, sword swallower and all like these dumb things. It's like,
yes,
you're doing something that really doesn't benefit anybody.
Yeah, like, what's, assume that you survive. Like, you didn't get a TV contract to do it. Like, I saw one of those Walendas.
Oh, they did a special or something like a year or two ago.
Yeah, the one Walenda, the living Walenda, because I'm pretty sure they all died at some point, like in the 70s or 80s. But there's one that's alive, and he fucking walked across that Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Which is, I can't watch, like, my balls suck up into my body when I can't watch it. I'm just not into it. I don't want to see him, and I know there's a 7-second delay. I don't care. Not into it. But then I saw this week that his wife, she got flown out there on a helicopter above Niagara Falls, and she climbed out, and they had, like, this big ring hanging from the helicopter, and then she, like, got in the ring, and she's, like, sitting in the ring, and then she's like hanging from the ring, and then she like put something in her mouth and like bit down and was like hanging from the ring, like I said, Niagara Falls, and just hung out there for like a couple minutes, just hanging by her teeth. And I'm sure it was sponsored, I'm sure there was some money involved, but still, like, what's, like, How is that your thing? Like, what's the benefit there? Like, how much money does it take?
And what, like, who's paying for it?
Right. Like,
who gives a shit about this stuff?
Yeah.
Because somebody's got to bankroll that. Right. It's not like, I mean, helicopters aren't cheap. Like, all of it. Like, somebody's got to pay for that lifestyle.
Yeah, some skeevy promoter.
But like, what could what promotion? It's terrible.
I don't know. I feel like The Walk Across was on, like, Discovery Channel or something. But who's watching that?
I remember only knowing about it because of social media, but no way was I going to watch that. Like, it just makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't
totally.
I'm not cheering for to watch him die, but if he does it, it's just like, well, that was a really stupid thing to do. You're lucky you're alive.
It really makes my actual balls suck up inside of my actual body. Like, I can't.
Right there with you.
Yeah, it makes me really uncomfortable. Speaking of TV ratings, I saw that Megyn Kelly's Alex Jones interview. Alex Jones, who I don't know if you've seen the guy, but if you haven't seen a picture of him, take a look at that picture and then go and then ask yourself this question. How old is this person that I'm looking at? Because your answer is probably going
to be. Your answer will never be
right.
South of 60.
Well, yeah, you'd be like, I don't know, 71, 68. Like, he could be in his late 50s, but he lived real hard. And so he looks older. Well, he claims to be 43, and that would have been my first question when I was interviewing him. I'd be like, how do you expect people to believe anything you say when you're telling people you're 43 years old? Because you're clearly at least 68. What's going on with that?
Right. But, the Sandy Hook truther stuff, that's awful, yeah. But that's still got to be the second question.
Right. Well, and they really hyped it up. Like, it was all week long. They're like, oh my God, like, this is, should she do it? Like, is this right to give this guy a platform? And you know me, I don't like, I, that whole like Milo Yiannopoulos and Ann Coulter where they're like, don't let him speak. I'm like, fucking let him speak. They say stupid shit. Like, let him get out there and talk. That's how you fucking expose people. You let them say the stupid shit they say. So,
but apparently he got like tens of thousands of more Twitter followers after this.
Exactly. And so, but so they were going to put this guy, Alex Jones, on TV, and it was like a big deal. A lot of people arguing. And he's like, she misrepresented what I said. I have the documents and all this shit. And it, so then they aired it. I didn't even realize they aired it until I saw it the next day. They aired it, but it was defeated handily in the ratings by a rerun of 60 Minutes and a rerun of America's Funniest Home Videos. Like, despite all his millions of InfoWars followers and fucking kooks that are into him, and then all the NBC publicity that they tried to drum up, like, should they do it? Should they not? They fucking still couldn't get anybody to watch it. So that's it. Like, just let these dumb shits talk, and they will expose themselves.
And all the consternation over her and her credibility, like, her fucking credibility. I remember there was a clip like a year or two ago where she was like angrily defending that Santa Claus was white. Like, it was like a thing.
Yes.
Yes. Like, no, I know for a fact Santa is white. It's like, what?
I'm pretty sure, I don't know this, but I'm pretty sure Fox does like Christmas time is every year is all about there being a war on Christmas. Like, there's like, people don't want you to celebrate Christmas. Like, people are anti-Christmas. And I've never encountered any of those people. I'm sure there's some people that exist that are anti-Christmas, but they make it like there's this fucking massive conspiracy against Christmas. And I,
yeah,
so
like,
I
there's
assume,
200 million Ebenezer Scrooges out there.
Right. Like, I assume that that Santa being white falls into the war on Christmas line of thinking. Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
It is time. It is nearly time. Just hold on. I think last week I didn't have her music. This week I do. We've discussed all the nonsense news. It's only at the end of the show when we get to the part where we talk about the real news, celebrity news, gossip. Jennifer Lopez. I saw Jennifer Lopez was on a fucking boat in the Mediterranean, south of France.
You know why you know that?
Why?
Because she told you. Like,
well, I'm sure, but she
hasn't been anywhere without telling somebody where she's going to be.
She was out there with her perfect ass and her hot body and just being so fucking hot, and there was that Alex Rodriguez, and he's just smiling. He's like the cat that ate the canary, because he's like, yeah, I'm fucking Jennifer Lopez on this boat tonight. Like, that's what I'm doing. That's the thing I'm doing. I'm Alex Rodriguez. I'm rich as fuck. And I'm banging Jennifer Lopez tonight.
By far his greatest score.
Oh, by far. Absolutely. Joining us now is our pop culture correspondent. She's the one that shares these kinds of stories with us. Of course, I am talking about Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
I'm good. How's it going, guys? Hey, it's a big responsibility bringing you guys the and all our listeners the news.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Bringing us the real news.
It's a big responsibility bringing you guys and all our listeners the real news.
That's right.
Did I hear you forgot my plane music last week?
Well, no. Remember last week there was a can conundrum?
Oh, that's right.
And I didn't have the can conundrum sound, but I added it in post because I'm basically a sound engineer.
Yes, you are.
At this point. Kate. Oh, wait. Quickly. Let's do an email. We have an email for Kate.
Yeah.
Wait. One thing I just want to add
that
I caught like a minute of Michelle watching The Bachelor. I am a fan of that Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a fan of that chick. She's hot. Yeah, Rachel.
The problem is I can't watch.
She could use bangs though. She's got a big forehead.
She kind of does.
She is pretty though.
And she's a lawyer and she's got her shit together, but I can't.
What kind of lawyer can just take that kind of time off?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
She seems pretty smart.
I think they shoot the whole thing in like 3 weeks. Okay. Like you could knock it out.
That's the weirdest thing ever to go on that show.
But last night I had a show on and then the show ended. And it was like a DVR'd thing. And so then I delete the show. And then what was on TV at the moment was The Bachelor. And it was a bunch of guys sitting around. And they're like, one guy's like, I never met a woman with such poise and class. And I just can't help, but I feel like I am falling in love with her. And I just want to be with her every minute.
Brian was like, what is going on? And dudes don't talk like that to each other.
He's saying it to a group of dudes. There's like seven dudes sitting around. And the other dudes are like, oh, the way she carries herself. She is just the picture of class. She's like a princess. And
she's wife material, yo.
I want to just carry her over the threshold and be married to her. And I'm like,
can you imagine if a buddy said that?
Yeah, it's awful.
I'm like, Kate. Like, this is why I can't watch the show. I cannot picture a scenario where a situation like this would occur because this is not how men talk to each other. This is not a conversation amongst men. This isn't what we do.
It was pretty weird.
There's a slur that we're not allowed to use anymore.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
Oriental.
It starts with a G.
No, it begins with an F. If like your buddy said that,
yeah,
you'd be real tempted to use it.
That's the only way you ever used it because it's one of the main reasons
I can't watch The Bachelorette anymore because I can't deal with sitting around listening to a bunch of dudes talk like that and act like that.
When it's The Bachelor, it's funny because it's chicks and the chicks are all real self-conscious inside and the dude is just like a total just normal dude. Like he's never like an especially interesting or funny guy. He's handsome, but that's all he's got going for him. And so when the chicks are like getting all into it, you're like, why, how do you guys not see this? But then when you see the guys do it, it's just like so pathetic and forced and sad. I'm not into The Bachelorette. I am into Bachelor in Paradise though, which is coming.
I have some Bachelor in Paradise news.
Oh, do you? Can we start with that?
Sure.
Okay. Let's talk about Bachelor in Paradise. I understand it may have been saved. Ed, do you remember last week when we discussed?
Yeah, there was like a rape accusation.
Yes, yes. There was something afoot.
Yes, but Warner Brothers has concluded that there was no improper or there was no misconduct.
After an investigation.
Yes, so they have shooting has, thank God, resumed for Batch in Paradise.
Oh, thank God.
It must be cool for her parents. We did a thorough investigation, and we just concluded your daughter's a whore.
Yeah, your daughter was just really fucked up, and she was into it. She was
after careful consideration, we determined she's a trollop.
We tested her dampness.
Trollop. And
she was
such a good word. No
she
one
was,
uses that.
In fact, sufficiently moist for us to know that she was interested in the sexual conduct she was partaking
she's
in.
A certified skeezer.
Not over, according to Corinne Olympios and her team, her lawyer, Marty Singer.
Oh, he's big time.
Who will be taking this all the way to the bank.
Marty Singer's like the go-to divorce guy in LA.
So we'll see what happens, but Warner Brothers has decided that they don't think anything improper went down, and they're taking their chances.
They're going to take their chances. So, but the thing is that the only reason or the main reason I was tuning in was to watch Corinne. Like,
she's like a
it really does suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's, I gotta agree.
Yeah. She makes it interesting.
I just realized that she won't be on after
she's,
that.
Now she's not going to be there. I doubt they're going to air. I bet you they'll just reset. Because if this is going to be litigated, I don't think
they can't show anything that
They're still claiming it's going to air this summer, so we'll see what happens.
But it'll be like the Ravens and the Danielle.
It'll be later in the summer.
Like Danielle and
it'll be everybody except her. They'll replace her and DeMario with somebody.
I'm not into the whole man card thing, but if you are into Danielle M, you should probably have yours revoked.
Which one was that?
She's the real morose.
She muscular?
And she, no, she's real skinny.
Oh, yeah, with
she's
the thin
she's real skinny.
Lips.
She never smiles. And she's just like, hey, yeah, my boyfriend killed himself with heroin. What? It's cool. Yeah, I'm here. I'm really into Nick. Can't you tell? Because I'm nice.
I remember her now that you're doing that impression.
Well, the thing is it's not me. It's the Thorazine. I get the producer shoot me up with Thorazine prior to every scene. So this is, I would be more animated, but it's the Thorazine.
I hope Warner Brothers doesn't sue us now.
Oh, yeah. Let's hope not. Let's hope they do to get us some promotion.
That would be the best promotion for this show.
Yeah. I don't have anything that they can have. Okay. What else, Kate?
All right. The actor Miles Teller. Are you guys familiar with Miles Teller?
Yeah, Whiplash.
Whiplash is really a good movie.
He's one of our best kind of.
But his drum teacher, like,
so good.
Gets to punch him in the face.
Oh, he's so good in that movie.
He's Schillinger. Really good.
Yeah. You know what else he's good at?
But can you imagine, like, one day somebody throws a cymbal at your head and you're like, yeah, I'm going to continue.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, well, it's Schillinger.
It's not the only school in the country. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
If I don't continue to play the drums, Schillinger might mortar me into a wall.
Did he punch him in the face?
He like slapped him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was a good movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie.
So, you know what else he's good at?
Miles Teller.
Getting really fucking drunk.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
So he was in San Diego this weekend and he was arrested for drunk and disorderly.
You gotta be.
Well, I think what happened was he was wasted. The cops said you can sleep it off in one of the San Diego have free like detox centers run by volunteers where you can sleep it off rather than.
That's cool.
That's a pretty nice deal.
Yeah. California. So
the cops took him to a detox center, but he was super uncooperative, wasted. Yeah.
That's what drunk people do.
But you know what's weird is like, I mean, maybe you're gonna get into this, but if you get that shit faced. Like, you don't have anybody with you?
Yeah, where's your buddies?
He went to see... He claims he was seeing his friend who was about to be deployed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming to Afghanistan?
Somewhere.
Syria?
I mean, we deploy people all over the world.
I mean, we're involved in a whole lot of fighting. Left, right, and center.
Yeah.
They don't even tell us anymore.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Anyway, so he was... when he was uncooperative at the detox center, he was then arrested and transported to a local jail where he was booked. He did get on Twitter and try to say that he wasn't charged with anything, but looks like he was.
I saw a headline where he tried to say he was overserved. Don't fucking... You're the guy ordering the drinks, asshole. You're doing the shots.
What a little bitch.
Don't blame it on the person that gave you the booze.
I'm not down with that either. So.
I one time had to give a deposition.
Oh, no.
I worked at a bar, and this drunk dude left the bar and got in a car accident that really fucked him up. And I was the one who had him thrown out of the bar. And so, like, they had to, like, confirm what happened, like, whether he was overserved. And it was, I just said pretty much I only saw him when he was shit-faced. I didn't see him get served. But, like, I feel like that's a weird excuse. Like, the bar is responsible. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. You're responsible, right?
Right. Like, how?
I don't feel like there's any recourse against someone overserving you.
Right.
As a citizen. Like, there's nothing you can do.
I was the fucking busboy, so I wasn't sweating it out.
Right? Yeah. Like, you can't be charged as a bartender.
Yeah, it's illegal. Yeah.
It is.
It's just hard to prove. Yeah.
I would think after the fact it would be very hard to prove.
Yeah. What else, Kate?
I have some.
Shout out to Miles Teller.
Yeah. Miles, get your shit together.
Mm-hmm. He's sleep handsome.
You're a good actor, guy. Though.
Yeah, he's a very good
very
actor.
Very good looking, too.
Yeah.
Respect. But yeah. Seriously?
Seriously.
Okay. Baller lifestyle celeb favorite, Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Johnny Depp making an appearance, huh?
Apparently, he's in some financial trouble. Which is amazing to me because those Pirates of the Caribbean movies and all the backhand points, et cetera, must make him so much money.
No, we've talked about this. He spends like $3 million a month on wine or something. It's like a ridiculous. He has ridiculous
expenses. So some leaked
expenses.
Emails between his management company and himself came
He has 9 condos for sale in the same building.
So he's trying to, I guess he's trying to sue his management company for mismanaging his finances. But so they've leaked some of the emails just to prove that they've been trying to rein him in for many years.
Yeah.
And in those emails was a brilliant exchange where he talked about how he said, regarding the plane situation, I don't have all that many options at the moment. A commercial flight with paparazzis in tow would be a fucking nightmare of monumental proportions.
I mean, the paparazzi don't get on the plane with you.
So, Jay Depp's is, and then he said, this must have been, I'm not sure what year this was. It was a while ago. Know that I'll be starting The Tourist, which will be 20 mil. I will then go virtually straight into Pirates 4 for 35 mil.
Wow.
And then in turn to Dark Shadows for another 20 mil. That's a lot of money in a year.
The Tourist and Dark Shadows were massive, massive bombs.
I've never even heard of Dark Shadows, but I know The Tourist was a massive bomb.
Well, and prior to this was The Rum Diaries. Yeah. Or did that come after? Also a huge flop.
Yeah. He's never had a hit other than his Pirates movies that I can remember.
But he gets paid a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Which is so dumb.
$20 million. Imagine. Wow. Doing 3 jobs in a year where you net at least $75 million, or you gross at least $75 million, and having money problems.
Well, and you still dress
blame,
like that.
I blame management.
Is Johnny? Is that?
Was it your manager's fault?
Yes.
So weird how he just calls in.
Yeah.
They have unrealistic expectations for me. I bought a $14 million armoire that used to belong to Milton Berle. And they somehow had a problem with that.
Unbelievable. Shocking.
So I'm going to make as many Pirates of the Caribbean movies as possible and possibly star in some remakes. I was thinking I could be in a new version of Annie. I could
Daddy
play
Warbucks.
I could play Short Round in a new version of that Indiana Jones movie.
Good idea.
No Time for Love, Dr. Jones.
Wow. Fantastic.
Cleanse.
What about 21 Jump Street?
The movie?
21 plus 21 years later.
Oh, sick. Ooh. Yeah.
You see, Richard Grieco and I have been spitballing a few ideas.
I bet you have.
But we're still getting a holdout from Harry Aoki. So we're going to have to put the band back together.
Yes. Wow. That would be fantastic.
I would see that.
Is there any concern? Has your management asked you at all, Johnny? We know you spend something like $40,000 a month on wine. But where have you drawn the line where you said, I cannot tighten my belt? Is it in fact on belts? Because you seem to wear 6 or 7 belts at once. Is that the one expense, the one extravagance that you have to maintain?
Well, can you imagine my dismay if the paparazzi found me with anything less than a half dozen belts?
Yes, it would be so embarrassing.
The situation would be right. Untenable.
And you can't fly with that many belts because you would have to take them all off going through security.
You know, airport security really gives me some guff with the diamond studded belts.
Yes.
So
and you have to take off your stack of bracelets too before you go through.
Yes. Yeah. So that's pretty much why I have to have my own jet because I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, also the payload. You probably have a number of valises, trunks, and other luggage just to carry your scarves. You're known to wear 70, mm-hmm. maybe 80 scarves at a time, and you don't day to day. You don't obviously don't wear the same.
And a lot
scarves.
Of hats too. Yes. A lot of fedoras yep. that have to be in special hat yep. boxes.
It's understandable.
You can't be as mysterious looking as I am with only 15,000 hats. You need upwards of 75,000 hats.
That's right. That's right. That's why you are. That's why you get the big bucks.
Yeah. You can't mm-hmm. have that homeless Three Musketeers look.
I imagine.
Well, I learned my mustache growing skills were honed when I was working on the set of Crybaby for John Waters. And he told me the wispier, the better. And so,
John Waters loves a wispy mustache.
I pay a personal groomer $74,000 a day so they can really cut my wispy mustache in such a way to creep everyone out.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, Johnny.
Thank you for joining us,
thank
Johnny.
You. I hope you Thanks can sort out your money Thanks. Situation. And I really hope your band, The Hollywood Vampires, makes another...
With Alice Cooper.
appearance.
Is that for real? He has a Hollywood Vampires
please
band?
Please Google it.
Yeah, it's it's him.
So good.
And he's a guitar player with Alice Cooper is the singer, I think. And Joe Perry from Aerosmith. Hold on. Now I need to know the whole band.
Can you imagine somebody paying money to see that?
No, I couldn't. Hollywood Vampires. What a sick name, by the way.
Really is.
Okay.
Official, they're kind of dangerous.
Official website. Oh, yeah. It's just
the three of them.
Yeah, it must
be
like Spinal Tap with the drummer. The drummer's just whoever because it's Joe Perry and Johnny Depp and Alice Cooper, I don't know who plays bass. So the bass player, the whole rhythm section is
a
mystery.
Well, they made their debut appearance, I guess, in like 2015.
Yeah.
And the three core members were accompanied by Duff McKagan and Matt Sorum.
Oh.
And then Tommy Henriksen and Bruce Witkin also.
Wow, former Guns N' Roses
yes.
players.
Oh, so pretty sick. All around.
I see Johnny here. Johnny's got a scarf, but it's tied around his head.
Here. I just want to read the rest of this email to his manager, Joel.
Let's get back to that. Mm-hmm.
He says, what else can I do? Everything has three question marks after it, by the way.
Oh, no.
He's one of those.
That's and bad. He doesn't capitalize anything either.
Is he have an assistant?
What else can I do? You want me to sell some art? I will. You want me to sell something else? Sure, what? The boat is going to be chartered at New Year's, and Sony will then charter it for the tourist shoot in Venice. Other than that, I got bikes, cars, property, books, paintings, and some semblance of the soul left. Where would you like me to start?
Like, how does he have that stuff but no cash?
Yeah, anyway.
What do you think this all happened? Like, do you think he was this kind of disaster during Edward Scissorhands, or it's like when you start making Pirates of the Caribbean money?
Yeah, I think it's sort of in between. It's just when you get detached so far from real life, when the money isn't real, it's so much money that it's just when somebody's like, hey, you want to get an island for $50 million?
You're
like,
not handling your own money either.
How
so
do
you're,
I not have an island?
You're very disconnected from the whole buying for things, paying for things, and seeing that money no longer in your bank account.
Yeah, totally. Shocking. It's crazy. Okay. Oh, hold on. Let's interrupt briefly. Let's do a quick email here.
Okay.
I forgot we had an email for Kate. Email. My friend Jeff, who is 40 and single, hangs with his mom all the time. We were talking about Kevin Durant having a little bit too close of a relationship with his mom last week. They go to movies together and on vacation. Super fucking weird. And it's just his mom. His parents divorced in high school, and his only sibling lives out of town. I like how he names him Jeff.
Jeff.
Ed, and this guy's just got bullet points here. Ed and anyone else who doesn't shower before bed is disgusting. If you're a normal person, you've probably shit during the day and know your crack isn't completely clean after you wipe, even if you use a wet wipe. This especially applies to men because of our hairy asses. Gross. Ed, if you work out, I hope you shower after that.
What? Of course. There's somebody else that we have to talk about, does he shower immediately afterward? Because he doesn't.
What? That's who? Me?
You.
Well,
you
talk
about how you work out at lunch.
That's true.
And
I
then
you
don't shower till night.
I was. That is true. But I'm not doing that anymore because I don't have, I go to a different gym now. So I do shower after the gym. But I shower. I usually go to the gym in the afternoon and then I shower at night like a normal person. It's normal to take a shower before you get into bed. Get all clean. Well,
it depends on the time of year for me. I will always shower in the morning, but I would say
sometimes you do both.
Well, if I had to guess, I'd say I probably take about 450 showers a year. Like there are a lot of days where I'll do
two showers,
two shower day.
It's you peacocking.
I actually took two showers today.
Oh, did you? You did a gym shower and then a morning shower.
No, I worked in the garden and in the garage, and it's very hot here in Southern California.
Uh-huh. Oh, fantastic.
AKA the best place to live. Yeah. But I was all dirty and sweaty, so I took a shower.
Yes.
And then I just took another one.
Right.
I heard it's like a trillion degrees in Phoenix. The airports don't even work.
Yeah, 120 degrees.
All the planes are grounded.
Yeah, it's too hot.
Too hot for planes to fly. Hey. But global warming is not a real thing.
Okay, so let's finish this email.
Okay.
For fancy, Brian, you saying get up in those guts reminds me of a guy I worked with using this line about performing oral sex on a girl while she's on her cycle.
Do not say that.
Keep a plug in and I'll stay high. Wayne. Of course, this pissed her off, so he went for it. As she was leaving, he said, when you gonna let me get up in them guts?
Oh, man.
Also, a good podcast is S-Town. That's from Wayne. Excellent email, Wayne. I don't like period jokes. Okay, Kate, what else?
Well, I'm still recovering. Wow. He didn't need a minute.
S-Town was pretty good.
S-Town was pretty good, yeah.
Was there a question?
No, there wasn't.
I think he just wanted to, like,
a lot of declarations. Yes.
Your buddy and Jeff needs to break it off with his mom, though.
And, it's okay to be cordial and be nice and, have your mom over, go to brunch, whatever. But, it's just not be too buddy-buddy.
You can, there are varying degrees of being close with your mom. I know people that are closer with their mom, they speak more frequently.
Right.
And that's okay, but hanging out is kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, Kate, what else you got going on here in the world of pop culture?
Sad to say that Prodigy, a rap duo, Mobb Deep,
has
choked to death on an egg.
Well, is that?
Oh, is that how he died?
Before dying of unknown causes at just 42. Mobb Deep, one of the all-time best hip-hop acts.
Yeah.
Hell on Earth, Murder Music, two of my favorite albums.
Yes.
So
it's
a sad day.
Tragic.
I saw it was a small venue, a boxing event I went to at South by Southwest, and they were there, and they were just standing amongst there were probably 100 people there.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. Pretty cool private show.
That's really cool.
I guess he had been hospitalized due to complications from sickle cell anemia. Yeah. He was pretty sick when he choked on the egg.
Awful. That's horrible. That's just terrible, terrible. That's
terrible.
On a whole egg, do you think? To eat a whole,
I would think a scrambled
a whole
egg.
Boiled egg?
No, I don't think they would serve you that in hospital. Well,
I think people choke when, they choke on their own, spit, towards the end if they're in really
sick.
Yeah, they're too weak. Oftentimes to eat and to swallow.
Swallow.
Yeah, it sounds like that's kind of what was going on. Okay, Kate, what else?
Apparently Bobby Flay.
Well, Bob Flay.
Okay, Bobby Flay is suing his interior designer.
Yeah.
For a couch.
Yeah.
A custom-made couch. That he didn't like, was uncomfortable.
This is a guy who's got a lot of money.
The couch cost almost $20,000.
Yeah.
That's the first problem.
That's a badass couch.
I've seen a picture of it. You don't need to spend that much money on the unless you have a very large room and you're doing a real custom 20-seater situation.
Unless Frank Sinatra fucked Ava Gardner on that fucking couch. It's not worth 20 grand.
But apparently, the suit says the sofa was deficient and not suitable for use in the plaintiff's residence as it was intolerably uncomfortable to sit on.
Wow.
Anyway.
But having an interior designer and a $20,000 couch, is there another part to the story? Like, is there something
we
need to know about Bobby Flay?
This Bobby Flay, he gets a lot of pussy head. I don't know what you are insinuating here.
I'm just saying, you know, we were talking about guys with cats.
Yes. Does Bobby Flay have cats?
Does Bobby Flay have cats?
Is he an
occasional gentleman of the peers?
This guy, diagonal sleeper, early botanist.
Midnight botanist?
This guy, he got Betty Draper, January Jones. He was married to some chick from NYPD
Stephanie
Blue,
March,
who is very.
They had
trusted.
An epic battle over their prenup agreement after
they
split up.
He had an
up.
Ironclad prenup. Also, this is the guy. I remember when this guy used to do Chillin' and Grillin' with Jack. There was the whole concept of the show on the Food Network is that Bobby Flay, he made his meals on a gas grill, and the other guy, he made his on charcoal, and they would like battle. And that's how this guy got his start. And now he's got fucking $20,000 couches.
I think he had an affair with January Jones, too.
He supposedly cheated on her a bunch
of times. Anyway, he's suing his interior designer for $40,000.
I would totally ruin my family for a night with January Jones.
She's pretty hot. Ed, weren't you eating at one of his restaurants and he came and visited your table at one time?
And he lingered. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, hey, how is it? And it's like keep moving. Yeah. Stop and chat. Like,
what did he want?
He just wanted to know how the food was.
Hey, great. Yeah. Are you new in town? I was like, no, I work upstairs. Like it was a restaurant like attached to the building I worked. And like he's like, oh really? What floor? I was like, hey buddy. Like
back off.
It's time to eat. Your fucking meal that was prepared for me is getting cold. Get out of here.
Was he like so like when you're like around 10:30 when you take a coffee break, what restroom do you go into and what's specifically, what stall? Like if I happen to be up there and I happen to see those Kenneth Cole loafers you have on there,
would I
be able to just open the stall and just come right in with that?
You know, okay? I was captain of the ski team and I do a nice ski pole.
As far as I know, Bobby Flay.
Okay,
it's not
just
gay.
You're throwing around interior designer and $20,000 couches.
Yes,
and begs the question. Questions should be asked.
Yeah, begs the question.
Well, we always ask the tough questions here.
Okay, what else, Kate? Anything else?
Looks like the Juice is coming up for parole hearing on July 20th, and he might be granted release. Apparently, he's been a model citizen.
He's going to get out.
Model, what do you call it?
Prisoner. Yeah.
Prisoner.
He's going to get the Juice who likes to murder people is
he's
going
get
to get out and he's going to, you know, be playing golf in a couple months.
Yeah. He's been in there a while. Like 10 years. Or
and he has
years.
Not been in there long enough.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But what happens with his money? Like, how does he play golf? I remember the last time.
He's got that badass NFL pension, Ed. And the NFL pension
but
is not
actionable.
Can't
they take it and give it to old handlebar?
No. So the pension would have been accumulating while he was behind bars because he's not allowed to spend it in jail.
That pension is fucking good. That's good
so
money.
So he probably
and I think
has
like
some money saved up.
$250,000 a year.
That's a lot of money.
Yes. He's good with that pension. And then he's got a lot of like under the table deals. You know, he gets money paid to his family members and stuff, so he doesn't have to give it to the police.
Does he have that memorabilia that he stole?
I don't know. It was his.
He was
stealing his own stuff back.
But he could sell that if he needs to.
Very weird situation.
It'll be interesting to see what group of friends he has at this point.
Oh,
because in that documentary, they just got progressively worse.
Yeah, it was a low and like
when you're hanging out with memorabilia dealers,
yes,
you're at the bottom row.
It's the lowest. Of the low. Okay, Kate, what else?
Just a Hollywood hookup. Looks like John Hamm and comedian actress Jenny Slate might be a new couple.
Oh, that's an interesting couple.
They've been seen about town. Just we're seeing leaving funny. A movie theater together the other day.
Her characters are amazing.
They've been seen at other events together. They did a movie together as well, so they may have hooked up on the movie.
Interesting.
We don't know. We just like to spread gossip here.
John Hamm is known to be a fan of comedy and comedians, so yes. It wouldn't surprise me that he would want to date someone who was very funny.
Right. And Jenny Slate, weirdly, was dating Chris Evans before this.
Yeah. Let's hope they stay together, Wyatt.
Because you would not want to be... After the next guy to follow John Hamm.
He certainly would not.
He's got a big, big hog.
Oof.
He's got...
We almost went a whole segment without talking about donks.
Almost. But come on, when I hear Hamm, I think of the Hamm downstairs.
He is pieced up. He is put together. It's probably... Because sometimes, and Kate, you might be able to testify to this, sometimes they're big... But they're unattractive. I bet his is girthy and beautiful.
It is.
Shiny. Like, right, just the right tone. Good complexion. I bet he has got a beautiful dong. What are your thoughts, Kate?
It's a bit, this podcast is a bit like...
You're too far away from the microphone.
A bit like a penthouse.
Forum?
Yes.
Penthouse forum? Like sex stories.
I mean, we just appreciate beauty in life.
Yeah. And he's a beautiful
man. I have met John Hamm, IRL, and he's super cool.
Yes.
Super down to earth.
Yes.
We were it was many years ago when the UK was...
You know
was,
what else is down to earth? Yeah. His dong. It's so big.
The UK was in the I guess we were watching a World Cup game, and it was a big game. It was an exciting game. Yeah, and he was at the place that I was watching it at.
Yep.
And we had a chat with him at the bar. Yep. He was very cool.
I actually, not to have you be the only name dropper here, but I actually was friends of friends with John Hamm many years ago. And I met him at a few different parties. And he was very nice.
Yeah.
Very personable. Very sweet guy.
Yeah.
Very cool guy.
I feel like I have to one up you all.
You met him. You fucked him. You sucked his dick.
One time at 2 a.m, I high five Beetlejuice on the street in Hoboken.
Did you immediately go wash your hand? Because I don't.
Well,
that was the thing.
I realized that this guy shits himself regularly, so I had to
go deep in the hand sanitizer.
And he's got birth defect. Were you like, what's up, Beet? And was he like, who, me?
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I was with a buddy, and I remember being like, Beetle! Like, I screamed. Like, it was one of those reactions that I just couldn't help myself. I was so excited.
Speaking of that, Ed, speaking of your brushes with greatness, sad day for you. Brooke Lopez of Brooke and Robin Lopez, the 2 7-foot guys with twins with girls' names.
Of walking poodle fame.
Yes, he was traded to the Lakers today.
That's a good trade for the Lakers.
Breaking news. Good trade for the Lakers. They were able to dump that Mozgov contract. But you're not going to be able to go down by the river on your runs and run into big old Brooke Lopez walking his tiny little fluffy dog, Ed.
Yeah. That was the weirdest sight ever. You just don't see 7-footers in person.
No. When you see somebody that tall, it's shocking. You're like, oh my God, is that a monster? Wait. It like takes a minute for your brain to register what's going on.
It's one thing to see, like, it happens where you see a 6'6", but seven feet, you just don't see it.
No, it's next level for sure. All right, Kate, is that it?
That's it.
Did Brooke Lopez have any of his extensive Disney collection on hand with him? Because he's known to be very into the world of Disney, and he has all sorts of different Disney items.
Mickey Mouse stuff. Yeah, I didn't notice it.
Did he have his mouse ears on like that?
like a matador?
Yeah, Kate, you weren't here, but we talked about that matador that got gored to death by a bull.
Good,
because he tripped on his cape. Just a little too much cape. Like he's out there flitting around with his cape, like, hey, look at my cape, and then whoa, shit, oh fuck, my cape, oh,
my slippers.
I mean, honestly.
In France. I didn't even know they had bullfighting in France.
What a sad, pathetic, ridiculous way to die.
How do you feel about that? Nobody feels bad for the matador, I notice. I haven't come across the person yet. Okay, that's it. Excellent job all the way around. 4 at Daly. 4 Kate McManus. I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 174 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Stay cool.
We'll be right back.